Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1973, the topic is Q&A, and the title is, How Long Should My Workouts Be? I recently had a client ask this. They were used to very long, drawn-out workouts. I wrote them a new program that's new for us working together. They were surprised because the workout only took them 50 minutes, and they wanted to clarify all the goals they had and made sure that I included that into the training. So it was good in the sense that they followed through with it, but it was kind of funny in that they wanted to make sure I wanted as many results as they did, and of course, I'm always going to. I usually ask people what else they want to achieve and try to layer as many things into the training as I can. Because there's often a lot you can do that people would be surprised that they can actually achieve all of these goals at one time. So we went through, we talked about it, and I thought it made a good podcast subject. For example, they were used to almost two-hour workouts where an hour of it was cardio and then an hour was weight training, but the weight training was mostly circuits. Now, their goal was fat loss and muscle building. They eventually want to get on stage and do like a bodybuilding show. Bodybuilding shows is in kind of an outdated term, but there's not really a better term for them yet. I call them aesthetic competitions, but that's a term that only I use. So I'm not sure how helpful that is for everyone else. But the reason why I say that is in like women's categories, when people get on stage and they want to show a lean muscular physique, there is bikini, there's wellness, there's figure, and women's physique. Bikini would be the thinnest body frame, meaning they don't have as much muscle as the other categories. Wellness is a smaller upper body frame, but a thicker lower body. Figure would be next, and that's actually more of a balanced physique. However, they do usually have more dominant shoulders than the rest of their physique. And then physique category is like a female bodybuilder, but they use the term physique as it promotes the typical term female bodybuilding was kind of correlated with big muscular women that looked masculine. So it was not great for kind of advertising the sport or getting other people. Basically, that stigma was kind of hurting the sport. So they wanted to get rid of the bodybuilding term and just call it women's physique and kind of start a new, like a fresh mindset towards the category. But those are women's categories. Men have men's classic physique where they pose in like swimming trunks, like board shorts. And then there's classic, so that's men's physique is board shorts. Classic physique is just the normal kind of bodybuilder little trunks that you wear. And then there's men's bodybuilding. So I do this all the time. I've helped people earn pro cards, and you can hear even how confusing it is to try to remember all these categories. But the term bodybuilding show, I want to make known that it's not just people wanting to build massive muscle and look crazy looking on stage. There's a lot of categories, and a lot of them, and the majority of them, are very aesthetic. They're very aesthetically pleasing. So she would like to do that. She has some body fat to lose for sure, but one of the bigger components is she needs to build more muscle mass. The previous trainer she was working with was really doing just everything you could do to strip muscle off of somebody. An hour of cardio. And she often, like she was told to work out fasted. So she would do an hour of cardio fasted, then weight train fasted, and then had a very restrictive diet all day. And basically just destroyed her body in regards to, it was such an enormous deficit that the body fought against fat loss and actually would try to retain body fat and wasn't doing damn near anything to build muscle mass because that actually is a caloric energy loss process for the body. And she just wasn't going to be able to do that. So it was quite complicated, but she was used to two-hour workouts, used to doing that 4 days a week, and thought that since she wasn't doing it five, that was actually what was like holding her back. So we're undoing all of that like unhealthy behavior. It's just, unfortunately, she was not taught well. So bummer about that. But thankfully, we can fix this. Now, I have helped people do things with crazy time restrictions, and that's part of the fun. That's part of the fun of getting the right programming for special cases. I do a lot of one-on-one work with trainers and then also with clients, and I do write programming for facilities now, which is super fun. But the one-on-one work I really like because you can get really nuanced with the programming, and it's fun to flesh out variable concepts. So I've helped people compete in aesthetic competitions where they only worked out 40-minute workouts four times a week, and that was it. They lifted weights for 40 minutes four times a week. They got on stage, shredded, looked amazing. For strength competitions, we've trained as little as 3 60-minute workouts a week, and they did great, absolutely great. Elite, one of the clients had an elite total in powerlifting. For people who want just good, healthy body composition, they want to be lean with some muscle, healthy blood markers, we've done that with 3 30-minute workouts a week. Now, those are minimums. They're not like the actual recommendations. If you could do more, I would definitely suggest doing more because it allows for more leniency in the other components, such as nutrition, sleep, and stress management. If somebody is very limited in training time, the other elements have to be ridiculously perfect. They really, really, really have to be nuanced down to like the smallest details. When somebody can train more, it gives more leniency for the other elements to not be as regimented and as precise. So I would recommend people train more if they can. So that leads into the question then of, well, you know, how long should your workouts be? How long is long enough? There's a couple things to consider. There's three main considerations. You could definitely fine-tune this and get into the weeds with it, but I want to stay a little more elevated so we can get some takeaway home messages and some good conceptual understanding. I don't want to get lost in the details. The three main things I would consider are schedule, recovery capacity, and then desired level of outcome. If we look at our schedule, the more often you can train, the shorter the workouts can be. The less often you can train, usually the longer the workouts have to be, or they have to be very intense. They have to be structured extremely well. One of my clients is getting ready for medical residency, and they're wanting to learn how to train for all goals, strength, muscle building, leanness, athleticism, and general overall health. But they want to be able to do that in kind of a minimal manner. So I have her working through these programs now where she'll do a movement preparation kind of warm-up, which takes roughly about 10 minutes. And that can be built into as she's warming up for the main lift of the day, which might be squat, deadlift, bench press, overhead press, whatever main thing we want to do. For example, with squats, if your decent level of strength, let's say you're squatting in the high 200s for your working sets, you have kind of warm-ups at the bar, 95 pounds, 135, maybe even like 165 to 185, then 200, 205, 225, somewhere in there. You might have 5-6 warm-up sets. So what I have her doing is like two or three movement things for preparation to address tight musculature and get her body in the right position for squats. She might have 2 or 3 of those and then do the bar-only couple squats. Then go back to those movement preparation drills, do a second set of those, then go to 95 pounds in the squats. She does the third set of the movement preparation drills, goes up to 135 pounds in the squats. By now, she's warmed up, she's ready to go, the muscles are starting to loosen. So then we get into maybe a cueing exercise that we know will help the heavier squats go well. And she'll pair that with the fourth and the fifth warm-up set. And then with the working sets, we would pair non-competing movements. So for example, if we're doing squats, you can actually pair a chest press and a back row or a back exercise, maybe pull up, pull down, back row. But they're not going to take away from her ability to squat, but they better utilize the rest time that she would need between squats. So we'll do that circuited with the working sets. So the workout is layered in which she's almost always moving, but the intensities are variable. So that way she doesn't burn out too fast, too early in the workout. But by the end, we can have everything we want in, and the workout really only takes maybe 50, 60 minutes in total. And we can actually narrow that down and get it even shorter if we needed to. But that's an example where if you layer programming correctly, you don't necessarily have to be in the gym longer. if what you're doing is more well thought through. But that is something we think of in schedule, is frequency. And the more often they can do it, the shorter the workouts get to be. The less often they can work out, the more intense the workouts have to be, or they do have to be longer. Then we think of schedule-wise, are we balancing our workouts with our other demands? So, for example, that client's going to be in medical residency. You might have another client who has, maybe they have a job, but also a second type of job. Maybe they have a lot of family demands. They maybe have just other components in life that they're wanting to work on. So working out and exercise is important to them, but it's not the only thing they have going on. So you have to consider that, blending in the frequency and the length of the workouts so they can still meet the other demands of life. And those are going to be extremely important overall because that contributes to consistency. If you have somebody where the length of the workouts doesn't match their schedule, they're not going to be able to be consistent. They're always going to feel like they're not being able to do the entire workout. They're having to modify the workouts all the time. That makes you feel like you're not doing everything correctly, and that can really like shut down motivation. The next thing we would consider is recovery capacity. The better somebody is with nutrition, the less the workouts have to be. So if they're right on top of calories, protein, timing, sugar control, they're timing carbs versus fats correctly throughout the day, your workout stimulus doesn't have to be as intense. It doesn't have to have, your workout doesn't have to have as many other components to account for the nutritional capacity. But if their nutrition is scattered all over the place, that's kind of a bummer because it's kind of a crapshoot in what to do with training. Is you would love to do higher volume to help burn off any excessive caloric intake, but you'll even know if they're excessive in caloric intake or they're actually insufficient in caloric intake. So then maybe the extra volume is actually counterproductive. You have to reduce the volume, but then the person sees a reduced volume workout. They're like, well, this isn't even enough. I'm not sweating. I'm not exerting myself enough in these workouts. And it's like, well, your nutrition is so far off, and or it has to be so restrictive. Because maybe they want a big fat loss goal or they have a short time frame on a goal. So it's really hard to program whenever nutrition is unknown. You have to just kind of take a shot in the dark and see how the body responds, then adjust from there. But nobody likes that responsive phase because if it responds where it wasn't perfect, you have to go through the process of adjusting that. Then sleep. If somebody has poor sleep, you can't train as much as intensely. So therefore, their progress has to happen slower. If they have high unchecked stress, same thing. You have to have lower intensity, lower frequency. You have to have slower progress because you just have less of a capacity of what the body can manage properly and make positive adaptation to. If they're highly stressed, their body is already very busy. You can't push a lot of adaptation in a highly stressed body. Then there's also workout skill. If they're very good at technique, that means they're going to minimize connective tissue stress, minimize kind of other muscles being annoyed or destroyed during the workout. If somebody, for example, isn't very proficient in deadlift technique, their lower back is going to be more exhausted, fatigued from deadlift workouts. Therefore, you have to reduce lower back involvement in other movements. Therefore, you might have to bring down the volume and the intensity of squats until their deadlift technique is better. Therefore, you're always going to be slower progressing in squats because you're waiting for the deadlift technique to improve. So technical proficiency is a significant component to workout intensity and volume. And then also mind-muscle connection and their ability to maximize the efficiency of each working set. The less efficient they are, the more working sets they need. The more efficient they are, the less working sets they need. And that would play with workout length. Sometimes workouts need to be longer. If the person isn't very in tune with maximizing efficiency in their working sets, you can tell like they're trying their best, but it's not near what the body is actually capable of. So you have to have more and more and more sets to create the intensity and the damage that you need. Whereas if somebody's very in tune with intensity and maximizing efficiency, they might only need one or two working sets per exercise, and then they can move on. But those components, you think of recovery capacity, nutrition, sleep, stress, and workout skill, will all come into play with how long workouts need to be. So those are factors to consider. And then we look at the third thing is the desired level of outcome. If somebody wants a pro card, if they want an elite total, they're probably going to have to spend more time in the gym, or they have to have very purposeful, very intentional programming where it's multi-layered, everything is right on point. If they're just getting their feet wet, they're kind of new to everything, they're just trying to be, you know, less fat, trying to be less unhealthy. Just as one of my favorite comedians, Kevin James, he had a great stand-up act called Sweat the Small Stuff. That is, in my opinion, one of the top three stand-up acts of all time. I'll stand by that if you want to check that out. But he said his fitness goal was just to have his stomach not jiggle when he brushed his teeth. So, which I loved. And if that's kind of where you're at, you don't need as much time in the gym. You just need to make some small progress consistently over time, and your stomach will be less jiggly. And then if you're in the middle, you know, anywhere in there, like you're somewhere between a beginner and wanting to be an elite professional at everything you're doing, if you're somewhere in the middle, then it's somewhere in the middle in regards to time frame. So in general, when it comes to how long should my workouts be, I know I haven't given you an answer at all yet, but I want to state what these considering factors would be so that way you would understand why there is such a variableness to the answer. So I have had people have amazing, awesome, wonderful results with very short workouts, as I said. So your workouts can be as short as 30 minutes, three times a week. For most people, it can be that short, but you have to be ridiculously on top of nutrition, sleep, stress management, and some other components. If you don't want to have to be as tight on that, then training more would be helpful. So maybe instead of 3 30-minute workouts a week, you can do 3 60-minutes, or 4 30-minutes, or 5 30-minutes, or 4 40-minutes, you know, somewhere in there. I typically like to have my clients' workouts be no more than an hour and 30 minutes, even on my elite-level clients. At that rate, I would actually typically break them up into an AM session and a PM session because that's just better for body recovery and workout performance. So I tend to limit workouts at a 90-minute marker. Now, if they don't follow my rest times and they take a little longer than that, that's on them. I would prefer they don't. But 90 minutes would be a maximum. What's the minimum? Hell, I'd like zero. If you do one set of 10 push-ups, you know, a set of 10 bodyweight squats, that's better than nothing. So there is no minimum. Literally anything above nothing is good because it moves the ball. It moves things forward very slowly, but it still moves them forward. So the minimum is anything above nothing. The maximum, I would say, is 90 minutes. If you're going longer than 90 minutes with weight training, obviously if you're going for runs or some other things like that, you might be longer than 90 minutes. But if you're doing weight training, I would probably break up your sessions. Like when I work with CrossFit athletes to go to the CrossFit games, we'll often break their workouts into subsections and variable times of the day rather than some, you know, god-awful two-hour, three-hour kind of group workout. Now, in general, what we look for is what can you be consistent with? Consistency is absolutely the most important factor. Is you, something's add up, like something above nothing. If, as long as you do something, it adds up. So even if you can only do 50%, 60%, 70%, but you do that 3, 4, 5 times a week for 52 weeks in a row, it's going to add up to something significant. It really will. So whatever you can be consistent with, you might think I have to be in the gym 2 hours every time I go. Oh, horrible mindset. Because you're very unlikely to be able to have 2 hours set aside. Actually, plus you're going to need travel time and like getting dressed, getting undressed. You're unlikely to have 3 hours a day to devote to this all the time. You know, maybe in certain stages of life, but you're not going to have that for lifelong, most likely. So we want to consider my workout length must be something I can be consistent with. Second thing is, does it push your current limits? You know, within the workout, are you pushing to or near good form failure and making progressions weekly in what you do? Each week, the workouts have to be a little bit harder in some way. One extra rep here, 5 extra pounds there. It has to be a little progressive every single week because that's pushing your current body to continue to become a newer, better body towards whatever your goals are. So if you are pushing yourself every single workout, and you can see that in the data you're tracking in your workouts, you can feel that because the workouts are always challenging, then you know whatever you're doing is going to lead to some progress. And then the third thing is, are you seeing progress? So if you're making progress, you're doing well. If you're not making progress, before you add more time to your workouts, I would first look at the efficiency and the conceptual like programming structures that you're using. Make sure that your training is maximizing the time that you have first before you think about adding more time. So in general, how long should your workouts be? Most people, it's going to be somewhere between 30 to 90 minutes is going to be a typical workout length. Frequency is going to be anywhere from 2 to 5 times a week. I do have clients that train 6 to 7 days a week. That's rare cases, and it's not necessary for 99.999% of people. So 2 to 5 days a week, 30 to 90 minutes, somewhere in there should be plenty enough to see progress, assuming you can be consistent with it, and assuming that each time you go in the gym, you're making some kind of progressive improvement from the last time you were in the gym. Awesome. Well, if you have any questions, if you need anything, check out our website, www.brittleirongym.com. We have free information on there for nutrition and training. I have all the services available if you want to work with me for anything. You can always shoot me a message. On the bottom of the homepage is a contact form. You can send me a message anytime you want, whether it's a request for the podcast, feedback for the podcast, questions, anything you need. I hope that you always feel encouraged and welcomed to reach out. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brittle Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.